Following the success of The Lord of the Rings, the New Zealand-based director Peter Jackson could have made any movie he wanted. He chose to remake his favorite film, the 1933 monster classic King Kong. The original Kong was high-tech for its time. Willis O'Brien, the father of stop-motion animation, turned an 18-inch model into the eighth wonder of the world. Film critic David Edelstein has a review of the new Kong.
Step right up, folks, and feast your eyes on the eighth wonder of the world. No, it's not King Kong. It's Peter Jackson's ego. Yes, folks, this ego belongs to the man who took on J.R.R. Tolkien and won. And Jackson has now remade the classic monster movie King Kong as, I kid you not, the greatest interspecies love story of all time. All hucksterism aside, this Kong will soak up your biggest hanky. It's cornball, it has clunky dialogue, it's really long, and it's just about irresistible. The structure is nearly identical to the great 1933 original, but that one was lean and unfussy, even rather stoic. Jackson's, on the other hand, is endlessly show-offy. It's a three-ring circus of computer-generated effects with a big fat dollop of Cecil B. DeMille emotional shamelessness. Jackson has made a couple of smart alterations. The blonde actress, Ann Darrow, is no longer a bimbo. As played by Naomi Watts, she's a goody-two-shoes with a social conscience, a vaudeville performer who can barely afford to eat in the Great Depression, but won't debase herself by working in a grindhouse. Luckily, she gets waylaid by the two-bit impresario Carl Denham, played by Jack Black, who needs her to replace the leading lady who left his new picture in the lurch. Denham wants her to hop on a ship bound for the mysterious, fog-shrouded Skull Island, and his gung-ho optimism is just what our melancholy, fatalist heroine needs.
Anne, I want you to imagine a handsome explorer bound for the Far East.
You're filming in the Far East?
Singapore. On board ship, he meets a mysterious girl. She's beautiful. She's fragile, haunted. And she can't escape the feeling that forces beyond her control are compelling her down a road from which she cannot draw back. It's as if her whole life has been a prelude to this moment. This fateful meeting that changes everything. And sure enough, against her better judgment,
she falls in love.
Yes.
But she doesn't trust it. She's not even sure if she believes in love.
Really?
If she loves someone, it's doomed.
Why is that?
Good things never last, Mr. Denham.
I like Jack Black, but the increasingly despicable Denham needs some period 30s flair, and Black is too much of a modern hipster. And Adrian Brody is a little dewy sensitive for my taste as Denham's screenwriter, who becomes an improbable action hero. But Naomi Watts, she's pure gold, spark plus heart. Peter Jackson couldn't have computer-generated a lovelier heroine. Needless to say, he computer-generated everything else. When the ship pulls into the Skull Island harbor, the vast vertical rock face tells you you're back in Lord of the Rings country, where the heights are higher and the abysses more abysmal. When we first see Kong, he doesn't lumber in on two legs, he leaps in on all fours. And he's very fast. The most obvious way that Jackson ups the ante is by upping the pace, which is even more headlong than in Jurassic Park. The showpiece is a scene in which the giant gorilla battles three hungry T-Rexes while holding Anne, while plunging into a mammoth gorge. I could rave about the dinosaur stampede and the giant white worms that suck men whole into their big squishy maws, but let's get back to our leading ape. After he makes off with Anne, he enjoys knocking her down with his giant index finger and watching her scramble to her feet. And when she tells him to cut it out, he shakes the theater with his roar. He rips out a few trees, and he beats his chest in masculine defiance. But he knows it's not a battle he can win. The animators had a real performance to work from, by Andy Serkis, who did similar duties as Gollum in Lord of the Rings. Serkis makes Kong's emotions remarkably fluid. The giant gorilla even has spells of depression. A lonely monarch, he stares out from his cliff throne at the sunset. By now he's made Anne feel protected against all the other giant monsters. So when Brody's puny human hero shows up to liberate her, she hesitates. He can't make her feel as safe as Kong does, and he can't need her as much. Their last scene, atop the Empire State Building, is gloriously florid. It leaves Titanic far behind. Teenage girls will bang their heads on the seatbacks in front of them. Grown men will weep at their own inadequacies. Hell, I did. Giant gorillas will beat their chests in vindication. There's no way that Anne and Kong could be anything but just, you know, friends. But this is the first King Kong that makes you dream of all the other possibilities.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.